You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Come on, get up.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Bill Belichick. Has he found his next great quarterback? And if so, can he figure out how to get him? Meanwhile, our friends in Las Vegas tell a fascinating story about where this quarterback should expect to be 2 weeks from today. And I'm telling you now, it's a surprise. Plus, Trevor opens up and maybe changes the way we talk about football forever. Don't miss that. It's in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now on a Football Friday. Greeny here and delighted you are there. We have so much to get to, counting down 13 days till the draft. And we put together a whole lot of handsome to talk about it this morning. Here we go. Dan Orlovsky is hitting driver right down the middle of the fairway this morning. Mike Tannenbaum says it's 91 degrees in Boca today. And Field Yates is wearing a tie. We're ready to roll. And we will after we bring you the performance of the night. And what a night it was at Staples Center. For the first time since March 10th of last year, fans were in attendance. And Anthony Davis acknowledging the folks. He was cleared to start practicing again. But the performance of the night belonged to that man, Jaylen Brown, unstoppable, doing it early. Watch him here, time winding down in the second. Celtics, a 12-point lead. Brown had 21 points, 9 of 10 from the floor in the first half. Celtics up 13, fourth quarter. The lead is 15. And look at Brown working in traffic behind the back. You can't stop him. Jaylen Brown, 17 of 20 from the floor in the ballgame. Lakers kept it a game. It's a 5-point game in the final minute, but there's that guy again. Jaylen Brown would finish with 40, and the Celtics take this rivalry match on the road, 121-113. Meanwhile, to baseball, and it was, of course, Jackie Robinson Day. Every player in the bigs wearing the number 42. To honor the greatest legend the sport has ever known. Dodgers, Rockies, bottom of three. Dodgers down two. Two on for Justin Turner. Swinging at the first pitch from Austin Gomber. And that one is going to trickle over the wall. Turner's fourth home run of the year. That equals all the homers he hit all of last season. Dodgers up 3-2. Seventh inning. Dodgers down 5-3. Two on, two out. Max Muncy, it might be, it could be, it is. His third of the season. And the Dodgers would win it by a score of 7-5 on Jackie Robinson Day. Meanwhile, we are less now than 2 weeks from the NFL draft. And what will the Patriots do is one of the great mysteries. The Pats right now hold the 15th pick. Earlier this week, they were at the second Justin Fields Pro Day. Yesterday, Bill Belichick talking to reporters about all the different draft scenarios.
You know, at 15, I think we could eliminate a few players that won't be at 15. And then you could look at a couple scenarios and say, well, if you know, these three players are there, which one we take? I would say normally something will happen, and there could very well be a player there that either you don't expect to be there, or maybe he is a couple spots, maybe at 12, 13, he's still on the board, and you really thought that he'd be gone in the top six, seven picks. And then that, and, you know, then the question comes, you know, do you move up and try to get that player that's fallen a little bit?
Isn't that interesting? He's 15, and he's talking about moving up a few spots. May need to go a little further than that to get the quarterback. And by the way, happy birthday, Bill. It's his 69th birthday today. Dan Orlovsky, I start with you. What do the Patriots need to get done at quarterback in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, even the playing field within the division at the quarterback position. Greeny, I don't know how New England does not try to go get their quarterback early in the first round. If you look at the end of the first round, Thursday night, April 29th, in their division, they're looking at Tua Tagovailoa, likely Zach Wilson with the Jets, and then Josh Allen with Buffalo. That is going to be a long decade unless you fix the quarterback position, at least even the talent level. That's why I think they're going to be abnormally aggressive. And I look at the NFC teams, because I don't think an AFC team is going to be like, come on, New England. I don't think the Bengals or the Dolphins are going to be like, come get your quarterback, right? Like, I look at 10 with the Dallas Cowboys, or I look at 11 with the New York Giants and going, okay, NFC teams that are above the 15th pick, and New England's got to have a specific quarterback that they want. Hearing Coach Belichick talk, I don't think it's any quarterback. I think it's going to be a very specific player that they say, you know what, we had him ranked as the third or fourth or fifth pick in this draft, and he's fallen for some reason. We need to go get him right now, and that gives us a chance over the next decade within our division.
Okay, so there's so much to unpack in that. Mike T., let's start as one who has made these calls and made these deals with the actual logistics of doing it. You just heard Bill say, well, if a player gets to 12 or 13, that's one thing. But I think most of us expect they would have to go up higher than that to get the quarterback they want in this draft. So how does this work?
Yeah, I disagree with Dan. You can trade within your conference. And I think the hot spot starts at 8 with Carolina and 9 with Denver. And it's a perfect win-win. If I'm Carolina, I've upgraded Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, and I flip 8 and 15 for next year's first-round pick. New England goes up and gets their quarterback. Let's say it's Trey Lance. So now they have their quarterback of the future. Carolina is at 15 with Sam Darnold. And what's great about that, Greeny, if I'm Carolina, I have my quarterback, and next year I have an extra one. Mm-hmm. I lose the 2-4 for Darnold, but I have a better quarterback, and I'm in a better position next year. So I think that's a win-win. 15-8 is a key spot in this year's draft. Mm.
I agree. And the way Matt Rhule has been talking in Carolina, he sounds like someone who's inviting all comers to come and get that eighth pick because he's threatening to take a quarterback, which I don't believe he would do. Field Yates, what do you think?
Yeah, first of all, Greeny, I'm with you as well. You think the Panthers are going to trade for Sam Darnold, who was in some ways undone by the circumstances around him, and then immediately draft a quarterback who could replace him? I'm not buying that either. So I do think the Panthers are a logical trade-down candidate if a team like New England wants to move up. I think the Patriots certainly would be motivated to find a quarterback in the first round of this year's draft. But Greeny, I want to remind everybody that last year, we know that when it comes to the NFL draft, rarely are there guarantees, but all of us surmised the Patriots were definitely going to take a quarterback at some point last year. They took none. They waited until late June to sign Cam Newton to compete and eventually beat out both Brian Hoyer and also Jared Stidham. I think the Patriots would be motivated to find a quarterback if the board falls in a certain way. I just don't know that I see a substantial trade up from the Patriots 7, 8, or 9 slots in the first round. Bill Belichick, as we heard, laid out that scenario where a guy might fall to 10, 11, 12. The price to move up wouldn't be as precipitous, and maybe in that case, the Patriots do find a quarterback that could compete and potentially start right away in week one over Cam Newton.
Dan, why the face?
Everyone has said that this draft is loaded at the quarterback spot. Those first 4 or 5 guys are quote-unquote can't-miss players. And I've heard people say, well, the next year in college football when it comes to guys coming out isn't great. So you have to go get your quarterback this year. Like, if you're New England, how do you sit there within your division and know that Tua, who's going to have way more weapons and a good rookie year, Zach Wilson, who's very intriguing and talented, and Josh Allen in Buffalo, how can you sit there and go, we feel okay? Like, Phil, to your point, they didn't address the position last year, and the season did not go well. If they don't address it this year, this season's got a chance to be better, but you're still looking at a division where you are going to be at the bottom at the quarterback position when it comes to talent. Okay, so New England's got at some point, and if New England thinks they're going to be a better football team next year than they were last year, you're not choosing at 15. You're going to have to make an even bigger jump if you want to go get a quarterback eventually. And I'm not going to sit here and think that New England is going to strike lightning in a bottle twice or catch lightning in a bottle twice, so to speak, and take a lower round quarterback and have him become an absolute superstar like they did with Tom Brady. At some point, they're going to have to address the position with a talented young player.
Go ahead, Field. Why were you shaking your head?
Yeah, first of all, I never buy into the, well, next year's draft class doesn't look great. Greeny, go find me all the experts that had Mac Jones going third overall a year ago at this time, and those that were talking about Zach Wilson in the same breath as Trevor Wilson. Every year, quarterbacks emerge. Just look through the past 5 drafts, and you'll find the Kyler Murrays and the Baker Mayfields and the Joe Burrows. So I don't care about what the early look is on the 2022 NFL draft class of quarterbacks relative to this year. And then, Dan, you know this as well as anybody. Quarterbacks, this is not like just because we on the outside believe there are 5 quarterbacks that are first round, no doubt about it, players. If a team doesn't feel as convicted and strongly about a player to move up as we might, then teams are not going to pay the price.
Right.
And
right.
I get it. After last year, but hold on, Dan, one thing. After last year, and I understand how this might come across as borderline radioactive with the way that Cam Newton finished last season, I think the Patriots believe there is at least a chance. I'm not talking about a 99% chance, but some chance that Cam Newton, with a full offseason and familiarity and being healthier and having legitimate weapons around him and understanding that system, could be an improved player. He's not going to be Super Cam, the MVP again, but they didn't bring him back just to make him feel good about himself. They brought him back. I understand the price point was not significant, but because they think there's a chance Cam can be closer to the player he was during the first 3 weeks of last season, when this team looked to be kind of what we thought they could be, a team that was had a chance to make the playoffs yet again.
Let me get something in here quickly, Mike T. Before I come to you, I just want to throw one more thing into the discussion, and then I'm coming right to you. I just want everyone to see. Chrissy, can we put the full screen up there? Yesterday, and this is what I was alluding to in the tease, Las Vegas made a very interesting move. Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill shifted the odds to where Justin Fields from Ohio State is now the favorite to be the third pick in this draft, which could change everything to the extent of what we're discussing. We're sitting here talking about all these quarterbacks in Bill Belichick's mind as though they're all one and the same. But to your point, Field, there may be one he likes better than another. And if that was Fields, now all of a sudden Vegas is telling us he's not the one who's dropping. I just wanted to throw that into the mix. Mike T, go ahead.
Yeah, and Bill Belichick, to that point, Greeny, is nothing if he's not opportunistic. And mark my words, guys, there will be a massive discount in what it takes to move up during the draft than what we saw in that San Francisco-Miami trade. So to your point, Greeny, if it's Justin Fields that goes three, and let's say they love Trey Lance at eight, for him to go from 15 to eight on draft night will be about 30% of the cost of what San Francisco did. And what's Bill Belichick? He's smart and opportunistic. If it's within reason to just give up one first-round pick, and let's say it's for Trey Lance, you can win today with Cam Newton, and I agree with Fields, he'll be improved. And now you have the quarterback of your future in Trey Lance at a very reasonable price.
All right, and let me finish it with this, and we have all morning to keep doing this, and I could do it for, frankly, I could do it for a month. But Dan Orlovsky, let me just throw this at you.
Yes.
Take the first two out of there. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going to be off the board. Of the other three quarterbacks that could be in this mix, which one do you think Belichick wants? If he could have his choice of any of the three, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, in your opinion, knowing his offense and knowing the players, which one do you think he wants?
I think he wants Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance fits a lot of what they're trending towards, or what my belief of what they're trending towards to being on the field is a kind of a dual threat quarterback run game implemented style in New England. And I think Trey Lance fits a lot of what they want to do schematically moving forward. And I think that also the untapped potential, we have the ability to finally develop a quarterback that is super talented, would be very intriguing to him and Josh McDaniels. And I don't think it's Bill Belichick's decision, so to speak, Greeny. I want to make that very clear. I think this is Josh McDaniels' decision. Okay, Josh McDaniels went for a long time calling plays with a certain style of quarterback, Tom, right? And he had a ton of success doing it. Last year was the first year that he called plays with a different style of quarterback. And it wasn't as successful, maybe because of the quarterback, maybe because of the talent, maybe because of COVID, okay? But at the end of the day, Josh McDaniels might sit there and go, you know what? Didn't like it. Or he might say, I loved it. Go get me an athletic quarterback.
All right, let me leave that there. Of the three, that would have been the third I expected you to say. Let me take a quick break. We have so much to do as we continue this morning. Coming up, we've heard for years that Trevor Lawrence is a can't-miss prospect, but some recent comments he made have raised a lot of eyebrows. What do we think of it? We'll let you know. Plus, Mac Jones told our buddy Paul Feinbaum that the tape speaks for itself. Well, the good news is we've got the tape, and we're going to show it to you coming up next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on a spirited morning, get up, best in class. Let's look at the quarterback prospects and field gates of the quarterbacks in this class. Who's the best improviser?
I'm going to go with your future starter, Greeny, in New York, Zach Wilson, who has this never-say-die mentality on the field. He's the kind of player that might run 5 yards backwards or throw the football 50 yards forward. He's creative. He's very athletic. He's fearless. Zach Wilson is the kind of player that, on occasion, can overcome some offensive line struggles.
All right, next up is mobility, Dan Orlovsky. Which of these quarterback prospects has the best mobility?
Yeah, I'm going to say Trey Lance, and it's for three reasons. One, his mobility is tied to physicality. He's a big-time physical runner with the football. And then I'll say long speed. He's also very fast once he gets into the open field. And third is elusivity. He's very elusive with the ball. And so you're talking about a guy that's got all three of those traits that you love with mobility. I'm going to say Trey Lance from North Dakota State.
And I love elusivity. It's better than elusiveness. Finally, Mike Tannenbaum, which is the most accurate quarterback in this draft?
Yeah, it's Mac Jones. And I'm going to give you two remarkable statistics why. He had over 70 completions of 20 yards or more, which is just incredible. And accuracy is well beyond completion percentage. He created over 2,400 yards after catch, Greeny. And I know they have great receivers, but you have to have pinpoint accuracy for your receivers to be able to make that many plays once they catch it.
Well, that is his calling card. And Mac Jones, who's obviously been dissected, as all these guys have, was on Paul Feinbaum's show yesterday, and they got into this. And this is a really interesting statement. Go ahead, play that.
For me, it's just focusing on what I can control, and that's doing really well in my Zoom meetings and working out hard and throwing and stuff. So, honestly, that sounds like an Alabama answer, but it is what it is, and they're going to say what they're going to say. But if you watch the tape, it's good tape, so.
Okay, that's the point. Is it good tape? Is it great tape? Dan Orlovsky has the tape. Show us Mac Jones.
Yeah, it's the best tape in this draft, Greeny. Okay, it's the best tape. And I think the understanding is this. Quarterbacks need to have the ability to survive and then thrive. Mac Jones shows that just here. Okay, the pass concept is going to be a three-man concept. You're going to have a deep crossing route, a slot seam or clear out, and then a big in. Now, the progression for the quarterback is really 1-2. This is a high-level alert, especially versus man coverage. You're going to have a guy running away from the defender, and then you really get to 2, the in route. But focus on the slot receiver, okay? The slot receiver is sometimes an alert for a quarterback. Now, why is it only an alert? Because his job is really to clear out a safety. Now, if they were in two safeties, if Missouri's defense had two safeties, run through the inside shoulder, get that safety to clear out, and might open up the in route. Now, if they're in one high safety, which Missouri is, run through his inside shoulder to make sure he cannot overlap for that deep crossing route. This is when Mac Jones shows you, I can not only survive, but my mind allows me to thrive. Okay, so I told you that crossing route was 1. This is a great opportunity. You got man coverage. Here comes this receiver running away. But this safety started on that hash, right? Now, this is difficult for a quarterback because this defender can trail underneath on that crossing route. When that happens, quarterback has to throw the ball with some touch to get it over that defender. But you can't because that safety is right there. He can play over the top. Throw's going to be nearly impossible. Now that brings us to this slot receiver because his job is to run through that safety unless that safety leaves. If he leaves, go replace him. Now, quarterback, you've got to see it the same way. Since you can't make this throw, make this throw, but it has to be on time. Mac Jones is staring this way, seeing that safety. Now, you, as a quarterback, if you are going to make that throw, make it before he spins around and can make that play. That ball is out right now. This safety is just starting to spin. You've got to bleed this receiver just to the middle of the field and get that ball there before the safety can collapse and make that play. Bang, bang, right there. Watch how quickly Mac Jones actually does this, okay? It's great to see it from the back angle. He's going to shuffle, side, step into his throw, and make it within one hitch. Watch how quickly it happens. Shuffle, step, throw, and you tell me that timing doesn't matter in this moment. That is absolutely perfect for Mac Jones. Listen, playing quarterback is definitely about or done with the body, but is always clearly going to be about the mind. And Mac Jones has a special one.
That is really, really good. That's Jalen Waddle making that catch, by the way, who will also be a high pick in this draft. Paul Feinbaum jumps in with us here. That was his interview you did yesterday. What more can you tell us about that? Like, where You know, like all the players, they get picked and prodded and taken apart at this time of year. How would you describe where Mac Jones' head is at here 2 weeks from the draft, Paul?
I would say super chill right now, Greeny. I mean, it was just he was almost impossible to interview because Saban would have been easier to break down. He reminded me a little bit of like the valedictorian at the Kellogg Business School at your alma mater at Northwestern trying to decide what to do next. Do I take the seven-figure job from Apple or Amazon? Do I go to Europe for a year? Do I go to law school and become a Supreme Court justice? I mean, I have never seen a more confident guy without dropping a sweat, Greeny. I mean, it was an Oscar-winning performance yesterday.
And again, the play. I mean, for those who didn't see it, I mean, the point that was made earlier by Field is, a year ago today, no one expected Mac Jones to be in the conversation that he's in right now. How did he do it? Paul?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was he did it. I was so mesmerized by his performance. Here's how he did it, Greeny. He went to school. He never quit going to school. He was learning when Jalen Hurts was there. He was learning when Tua was there. Nobody cared about him, and you're right about what you said a minute ago. Bryce Young, the phenom from L.A., was thought to be the starter by midseason. Not by the beginning of the year, but by midseason. And here comes Mac Jones under the radar, and COVID helped him because there was no spring practice and nobody had a chance to come close to him. And when Waddle went down, he actually got better because he turned Devontae Smith into a Heisman Trophy winner.
I continue to believe, and Dan, I only have like 15 seconds here and we'll get back to it. I continue to believe, to the point you made earlier, that's the guy Belichick wants. And for all the reasons you just described, I continue to believe that. Do you think that's the guy? Would he thrive in Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniel's system? I've got just a few seconds.
It depends on what Josh wants to do schematically moving forward. If he wants to go back to what he did with Jimmy Garoppolo and with Tom Brady, that makes a ton of sense. But if he doesn't, if he wants to move with what he did with Cam last year, then I don't see him in New England.
I don't know, they won 6 Super Bowls the first way. It seemed to work out just fine. I'm going to take a quick break on that thought. We have much more with both of these guys and company. Coming up, do you need a chip on your shoulder to win a championship? Inside Trevor's unique perspective and what the tape tells us. It's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and let's play a game of What Should They Do, NFL Draft Edition. Dan Orlovsky, what should the Cowboys do at number 10?
I'm going to throw a wrench in it. I'm going to draft Christian Barmore from Alabama, the disruptive defensive tackle. I think this guy, calling a couple of his games this past year, became a dynamic force, a disruptor in the middle of Alabama's defense, and that's something that Dallas has a huge problem with, their defensive line. I think Christian Barmore is an immediate upgrade and impactful player for them.
Yeah, he had 8 sacks this year and was the defensive MVP of the championship game. All right, Field, what should the Panthers do at number 8?
Yeah, dream scenario, Greeny, would be if somehow Kyle Pitts is there at pick 8. I think, again, it's a dream for a reason. Unlikely to happen in this case. If not, I would say left tackle, potentially guard Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, a school you're a little bit familiar with, would be a phenomenal fit in Carolina. The need to continue to upgrade that left tackle spot after some recent swings and misses to try to fill that hole.
Yeah, going offense there with the new quarterback Darnold in place. And then Mike Tannenbaum, I come to you. What should Atlanta do at number 4?
They should draft Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State. Greeny, it wasn't that long ago that Patrick Mahomes was drafted by Kansas City and they had Alex Smith. He sat all but one game his rookie year. It's okay to let Matt Ryan play a year or two. Still a huge cap charge next year for Matt Ryan. But get your quarterback of the future. You got a new head coach. He has incredible upside.
Yeah, look, that is the Mahomes method, if you will. And that is, I think, what a lot of people in the league look at right now. But I know, Dan Orlovsky, you're skeptical. Why?
Well, first of all, I think that Atlanta is a better football team than their record was last year. They lost three games that they had like a 99% chance to win them. Number two, Matt Ryan's still playing really good football. Right? He's thrown for over 50 touchdowns in the last 2 years and 9,000 yards. Still playing high, high level, plenty of games capable of winning football. And his cap hit is like $48 million after the restructure, next year in like $43 the following year. So I think that this roster has just got way more holes. And so if I'm at Atlanta, I want to trade back. They've got defensive line issues. They've got corner issues. They've got secondary issues at safety as well. And so I look at them going, Matt Ryan's still really, really good. And you could trade back to a team that wants to go get a quarterback and be plenty capable. I don't think it's push the panic button and draft a quarterback at 4 for Atlanta.
Let me bring Field in here because this is really where the draft is shaped. The top of the draft will be shaped by Atlanta making one of three decisions. Mike Tannenbaum just gave you one of them, which is take a quarterback. Orlovsky gave you another, which is trade back. The third option is take Kyle Pitts, who everyone says is this unbelievable weapon, and create like a super offense with all the talent they already have. Field, which one do you think they should choose?
Yeah, I am also on the school or in the school of taking a quarterback at pick 4, Greeny. And so one of the lines of thinking that you often hear during the draft is that, hey, if you're a team that might need a quarterback, take that player now because you won't be picking near there for quite some time going forward. And in some cases, Greeny, that turns out to be fool's gold because you end up being worse a year later. However, the Falcons, I do not believe, will have a top 5 pick for any of the next 3 seasons. Dan pointed out how many games they should have won that they did not win last season. And while the team did push money forward into future years with the restructure of Matt Ryan, I think as we've seen around the league, this offseason specifically, teams are more willing to eat a dead money cap charge if they can get draft capital in return and pave the way for a new guard at quarterback. So whether it's 1 year from now or 2 years from now, I can see Trey Lance, Justin Fields as the next man up in Atlanta.
Quickly, Mike T, final word, go.
Yeah, I think it's just smart, proactive. I don't think it's panicking. Why not turn that position of weakness into strength? And even if Matt Ryan plays well this year, you don't know what you could get next year. Trey Lance has incredible upside. And if I'm Arthur Smith, what's the best 10-year decision for us? Get the young, talented quarterback now.
Okay, speaking of young, talented quarterbacks, this got a lot of attention yesterday, and I'm really curious to hear the perspective from you guys today. Trevor Lawrence, who's been the number one pick in this draft basically since he was in high school, it was in an interview with Sports Illustrated that came out the other day, and some of the quotes got a great deal of attention. You may have seen them. Let me highlight them here. He said, I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do, and it's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. His father also said to Sports Illustrated, he's not award-driven. He's not, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. Now, I've heard a lot of perspective on this. Lewis Riddick was really powerful on this with us yesterday. Paul Feinbaum, as one who follows the college game, and obviously you've been following Trevor Lawrence from the moment he set foot on campus at Clemson. What was your immediate reaction to those comments?
I don't think the quotes make a bit of difference, Greeny, for this reason. Look at what he's done on the field. He's been in the playoffs every year. He's played twice for a national championship, won it his first time out. So what difference does it make? And I say this as a former newspaper reporter. What difference does it make what he says to a reporter? Trevor Lawrence knows what he's all about, and he's already proven that, and he'll prove it again next season.
I understand that thinking. That was my initial thought as well. But I've heard a few other perspectives that have kind of opened my eyes to a different way of looking at it. Mike Tannenbaum, you had an interesting one with a comparison this morning in our meeting.
Yeah, it is concerning. And when you talk to GMs around the league, there is a sobering effect about what happened with Andrew Luck, a great player in the prime of his career, and he just walked away. And Trevor Lawrence, since he's been 14 years old, has just had adulation heaped on him. And a generation ago, Jimmy Johnson said, hey, I want players on my team that have no parachutes. They're going to make it in pro football or they have nothing. And really what Trevor Lawrence has, and this is not a criticism, he has a golden parachute. He doesn't have to die trying. He has everything he'll ever need. He has generational wealth. He's been incredibly successful. And that sort of juxtaposition keeps general managers up at night. Who's to say that in 4 or 5 years, he doesn't pull an Andrew Luck? And teams are starting to talk about that paradigm now.
It is something to consider in this new era of football and sports as we know it. And the Paul, I was going to go to Danny, but you look skeptical. Paul, go.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. And Mike, here's what I'm willing to bet. I bet Trevor Lawrence is in the NFL long after those NFL GMs that you've heard from who are losing sleep at night.
Okay, I like it. Orlovsky, go.
When I read the comments or saw them for the first time, my thought was, holy smokes. I did not expect to hear that from him. Because my immediate thought was, how can you be great? How can you be great? But something that I have certainly been reminded over the last month or so was, number one, the tape is the tape is the tape. And always go look at the tape. And then number two, when you hear something, double, triple, and quadruple check it, okay? Now, I'm surprised that he shared those comments. That being said, he's been the guy since he was like 12 or 13 years old. And so doubt hasn't been a part of his past. He hasn't needed the chip because no one's told him, you weren't going to be there, or you were going to be the guy, or you weren't going to be the great. But I want everyone respectfully to understand and read all of this article, because again, I've been reminded to go do that. In this same article, there's a conversation that is shared with Trevor Lawrence's high school coach when he brings him in there and he says, Trevor, I need a goal. Write down a goal. Give me one of your goals. And Trevor Lawrence didn't even look at him. He just looked off and said, Coach, I want to be the best to ever do it. That wasn't shared amongst some of this conversation, okay? And so while I initially heard these comments and were certainly taken aback, Trevor Lawrence also, out of his mouth, not his father's mouth, not a coach's mouth, out of his mouth said, all I care about is being the best to ever do it. I've got to take him as his word. I don't need an athlete with motivation. I need an athlete who has habits. Trevor Lawrence seems to have championship habits.
I think that's right. And Paul, you know, there's nothing I love more than psychoanalyzing people that I don't know. And so when he says things like, I don't have a chip on my shoulder, well, he's not trying to prove people wrong. He's never been doubted.
Right.
He needs to prove people right. And that's it's a different level of pressure. It's a different kind of pressure. It is a pressure unto itself. But there's no obvious reason, to your point, why he would have a chip on his shoulder, because no one has ever told him that he couldn't do anything.
And remember, because I've been on the other side of these interviews before, athletes don't tell the media very much anymore. I mean, it's a game with them. Just like the conversation I had yesterday with Mac Jones. I mean, he was playing to an audience way beyond me. He was talking to his head coach, Nick Saban, and to NFL head coaches around the league. Trevor Lawrence toyed with this reporter. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but Trevor's been doing this since the day we first heard of him back in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Okay, it's well done. We'll leave it there for the moment. Again, there's a lot there. And to Dan's point, you should read the entire piece. There's a lot that's worth seeing. Meanwhile, let me run the floor through a bunch of basketball, and it begins with the WNBA draft, which we saw live on ESPN last night. And the Dallas Wings drafted Texas star Charlie Collier with the number one pick. She's a native Texan. She's the first Longhorns player to be the WNBA or NBA's top pick. Here was her reaction.
My heart is racing right now because I worked so hard for this moment. And, you know, it's a lot of people that have a lot of things to say about me, but you can never question my work ethic. And no matter, you know, hate me or love me, you still got to respect me either way. And, you know, this is the game that I love. I deserve to be here, and I'm built for it.
Well, she is headed to Dallas, and she's excited about it. And Luka Doncic is excited, too, welcoming her to the city on Twitter last night as he responded with a welcome message. So that was the top pick of the WNBA draft. Meanwhile, NBA news, and it's a shame. Nets center LaMarcus Aldridge announcing on Twitter he's retiring after experiencing an irregular heartbeat during Saturday's game. Aldridge was a seven-time All-Star and twice on the All-NBA second team. Elsewhere, Steph Curry got off to a slow start, then got cooking in Cleveland. Missed his first eight threes, then hit four of his last five to finish with 33 points. So it's a career-best nine consecutive games that he scored 30. The Warriors won it 119-101. And we've got basketball for you tonight, a doubleheader on ESPN. The Clippers will take on their former coach, Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, and the Sixers. That's at 7 Eastern. And then you will see Julius Randle and the Knicks squaring off against Luka and the Mavs. That's 9:30 Eastern time. The doubleheader tonight here on ESPN. Coming up, Kansas City seemed like a lock to win the AFC the last 2 years. Are one of these teams ready to overtake the Chiefs' kingdom? Find out what our team thinks next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on our Football Friday, Field Yates, take us back through this week, the three most important things that happened, beginning with Justin Fields.
That's right, Greeny. Lots of quarterback talk today on the show. And, of course, Justin Fields had his second pro day on Wednesday. This one was private, but it did include an audience that included both a 49ers head coach, Kyle Shanahan, Patriots offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, Broncos offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, a bunch of names and eyes that were important for the Justin Fields evaluation. One last reminder of just how special he is. Also, as the NFL and the NFLPA continue to work through some of the finer details of an off-season program, several teams have already said we are opting out of these voluntary in-person workouts. Now, I do expect that players will still show up around the league in some capacity, but there may be teams that have no players with them on Monday when the off-season program was scheduled to start, whether virtually or in person. And then finally, Jadeveon Clowney has a home. He's actually signing with someone a lot earlier than he has in recent years, as Clowney inked a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns, has a maximum value of $10 million, an opportunity for him to play opposite the best pass rusher he's ever played with in Miles Garrett, and also a chance for Miles Garrett to see what it's like to not be double teamed on nearly every passing play, Greeny.
That's very well done, and I love it. And I said on my radio show yesterday, with the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, and for all intents and purposes, the addition of Odell Beckham Jr., who missed most of last season, I'm buying. I believe the Browns have made themselves the biggest threat to Kansas City's reign of dominance in the AFC. So I'm now putting that in the form of a question. And let's get from each of you, who do you consider to be the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC? I'll start with Field.
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I'm not trying to be boring here, Greeny. Obviously, they pushed Kansas City at least briefly in the AFC Championship game last year until the Chiefs took off in the second half. But Buffalo retained nearly all of its core pieces this offseason. And I know that Josh Allen made this quantum leap that's going to be difficult to replicate, but he still has room to grow. He's only going to enter his fourth season in the NFL. Josh Allen's confidence is sky high. This Bills culture is excellent and going nowhere anytime soon.
All right, Mike Tannenbaum, you're next. Who's the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC?
Tennessee Titans. They won 11 games last year. They're still going to be outstanding on offense despite losing Corey Davis. They have a great nucleus on that side of the ball. Defensively, obviously, they struggle, but they've added the Nico Autry, Janoris Jenkins. I expect them to go defense in the draft. And if we could just get their defense to the middle of the pack, I think they're going to be a really hard out come playoff time.
Now, it's an interesting division this year down then that AFC South. And then Dan Orlovsky, I'll give you the last licks here. Who you got?
I'm going Bills Mafia as well. I wish I had my Bills Mafia flag. One, Brian Daboll. They kept Brian Daboll, who's one of the best play callers in the NFL. Two, this is an organization, and Field touched on it, that really is developmental. You know, like you talk about their young players and Josh Allen. Well, Zach Moss, Singletary, Gabe Davis, these young players are going to continue to strive to take steps forward. And I agree, Josh Allen's got more room to grow. He can continue to play better. And also, they still have their draft pick this year. And I think if they take a player like Greg Newsome from your alma mater at corner, that shores up a secondary that is very good opposite Tre'Davious White. I love Buffalo, and I think they're going to be better this year than they were last year.
Should be a really interesting season. And with that thought in mind, our friends at Caesars Sportsbook yesterday released their win totals for the upcoming season. And a reminder, this is in 17 games. That's going to take some getting used to. But these are the over-under win totals in a 17-game schedule that you were looking at there. Kansas City has got the highest. That's no surprise. You see Dallas and a few of the other notables. So let me ask my friend Doug Kazarian from the Daily Wager. Doug, what stands out to you here?
Greeny, for the second year in a row, the Cowboys' win total set at 9.5. Now, Dak is back, and they get a 17th game, but the under is still one of my favorite plays. Defense was just horrendous, and as you can see by the rest of the win totals, the NFC East projects to be pretty competitive, just 9.5 to 7, the full range between all the teams, and I think Washington and New York will be improved this year. And I just not a big believer in Mike McCarthy, especially with such a tough road schedule this season. So I'm going to go under 9.5. Which win totals have caught your eye?
Thank you, Doug. Let me turn that question. I completely agree with that one, by the way. Over on Washington. But I asked each of you guys to pick out one that you found interesting on the board. Mike T, what jumped out to you?
Pittsburgh Steelers. I am going under. And let me tell you why. When we traded for Brett Favre a decade ago, he just wanted to know that protections were set and where's the hot coming from in terms of an overload blitz or where he had to get rid of the ball. Ben Roethlisberger has a new left tackle, a new center, a new running back. He's not going to know if he's protected or not. And when you have an aging quarterback that's not comfortable, that's a bad recipe. And I think they're going to really struggle this year.
Yeah, putting the over-under that high, I think, is an indication of respect for the coach and the history of the franchise as much as anything. Field, which one jumped out to you?
The Packers at just 11 wins, Greeny. And 11's a big number. It's the third highest total for any NFL team. But this is a team that's gone back-to-back seasons of 13 wins. They get the additional game here. And if you look at the division, we know Detroit is entering a full-on rebuild. Chicago has a major quarterback question, even with the addition of Andy Dalton. I know that this offseason's been kind of frosty in Green Bay, and I'm not talking about the weather, but I do believe in this roster, in the infrastructure in place, I think they're bound for at least 12 or 13 wins once again.
I agree with you. The totals always have to hedge a little bit against the possibility of major injury, but I agree with you. That's too much. Orlovsky, which one jumped out to you, Danny?
Yeah, the easiest one, no-brainer, New England. Set at 9 wins. This is a team that won 7 games last year with a terrible roster when it comes to talent-wise because of opt-outs and injuries. Now you're watching a team that's going to be run-focused, and they're going to be dominant on the offensive line. They've added pieces on the outside at receiver, added pieces at tight end. Those defensive guys are coming back. They've got a 15 slot in the draft. I think New England, because of getting 7 wins last year, if they spend all that money and it doesn't equal 3 wins this year, then we've got a huge issue when it comes to that organization. I think 9 wins is a low number for them, and it's a runaway over for New England.
I agree with that completely. I mean, the division is good, and that factors that in, is that the division has gotten better to the point that you made earlier, and we still have a major quarterback question mark in New England, but I agree. I think that feels like a low number, and again, it is going to take some getting used to for all of us. But these are all based on a 17-game schedule, which is what the NFL is going to this coming season. All right, a reminder, we got a special NBA edition. It's an afternoon edition of our NBA Saturday coming your way tomorrow on ESPN with Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. They got the best record in the league. They play the Lakers. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 4 Eastern. That's tomorrow afternoon on ESPN. Coming up, the Patriots, they never trade up, and they never take a quarterback. But you know what? They've never needed to do either. So are they going to buck those trends this year? We've got your answer next. Get up on ESPN.